Done. If you've got your Bibles, I know you're set up. You're probably set up in Psalm 73 and stay set up there because we're going to get there. But I want you to go to the book of Malachi to start with, please. Go to the book of Malachi to start with, and we'll get over to Psalms very quickly, I'm sure. No, maybe not quickly, but we'll get there. Again, I guess kind of called this education versus experience, and we'll get to why I've called it that, and you'll see that in a little bit. But again, I'm working on the book of Malachi in the evening services, and I thought that I would move the rest of chapter 2, or this verse, to a morning service. It's Malachi 2:17. I want to answer basically the problems and the questions of Malachi 2:17 and do that this morning, so I won't be covering that in the evening services. But Malachi 2:17... basically, Malachi has said, here are things that you do that bother the Lord, okay? And I'm going to use the word bother. The Bible uses in verse 17 the word weary. But these are things that you do that the Lord does not like. So you can see here in verse 17, Malachi in his sermon, and he's writing this book, says, you've wearied the Lord with your words. So again, these people are saying something, and what they're saying, the Lord doesn't like it. And their question is very quickly then, okay, their question is, yet ye say, okay, wherein have we wearied him? So Malachi is saying, God is bothered, does not like what you're saying. And their question very quickly is, before they can ask it, they say what? Well, what are we saying? What are we saying that he doesn't like? Okay. And so Malachi is basically asking the question for them, but their question is, what are we doing that God doesn't like? And here's the answer. You say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you would help us as we deal with this saying that the people in Malachi, they are saying about the Lord, and Lord, you don't like when it's being said. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand the Scripture today, that we'll see what is the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what they're saying. They're looking around. This is how it's working. The people who are trying to serve God, those who are going to the temple, those who are doing things that, again, they would think God is pleased with, they're looking around at people who are doing nothing religious. Okay? They're looking at heathen people. They're looking at people that don't go to church. Okay? It would be in our day, we would look at people that are not professing Christians. They don't go to church. They have no, again, spiritual affiliations at all. And we would look at them and see that they're doing well in life. They're doing well. They don't go to church. They're doing well. Okay? They don't love God. But they're doing pretty good in life. And so, therefore, the statement comes up, well, if you want to do well in this life, give up on Christianity. Just give up on it. Okay? Stop being a Christian and you'll do better in life. And that's why they've put this saying together. Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. What they're saying is God must like evil people because he blesses them. That's really what's coming out here. These people look around. Hey, we go to church. We struggle. We have challenges. And then we look around at people that have absolutely nothing to do with God, and they seem to have life made. So I guess God loves them more than he loves us, because they seem to be doing pretty well. And basically the second sentence that they're putting in them there is, where is the God of judgment? Well, where's the judgment that's supposed to come upon these people that don't serve God, that don't live for him, that don't do anything? I mean, they're supposed to have it rough. Because they don't have God in their life, they're supposed to have it bad. And so the saying comes out in Malachi's day, and again, I'm just rehearsing and summarizing. Malachi says, God is tired of hearing you people say that he loves evil people, and he delights in them, and that basically he does not mete out justice to those to whom it is deserved. Okay? So that's what they're saying. Now, again, let's not preach today at the people in Malachi's day. Okay? They don't need it today. Okay, I can't preach to them. What about us? Have we ever looked around at all and ever thought, wow, There are people out in the world that just have it really good. And it just seems like God has blessed them and they have nothing to do with Him. You ever thought about that? You know, sometimes we get that way, do we not? Again, I can remember when I was a kid, we used to talk about people that were millionaires. And that was the big term. Being a millionaire is not big anymore. It's being a what? A billionaire. And it just seems that, you know, whenever they start talking about people that are rich, they don't really talk about rich people being in the millions anymore. I mean, if they're going to put out somebody who's rich, they talk about them being what? Billionaires. I heard a statistic one time, and it just kind of put it in perspective to me about making money or whatever. But somebody said that if Mr. Bill Gates was walking across the parking lot and he saw a $100 bill sitting over there, it is a waste of his time to go pick it up because he makes more money at his desk in the time that it would take for him to go over and pick up that $100 bill. Okay? So he needs to get to his desk because he makes more than $100 for the time it would take to go over and pick that bill up. That to me just blows my mind. How about you? Okay? So if you ever see me not pick up the $100 bill over there, then you can realize I'm really, really rich. Okay? But he makes more money than that at the time. So again, he was wasting his time to pick up a $100 bill. That's how rich these people are. Okay? They have no God, affiliation with God. They're not spiritual. They don't. They're atheists. They're agnostics. They'll even tell you they are. And yet it seems, and we just use the word, they've been blessed beyond measure. Now, I do want you to know this, okay, that in the book of Romans, it does say that the goodness of God should lead a person to repentance. Somehow in our mind, we have this idea, the way to get somebody saved is make them go through real hard times. Now, that works sometimes. But you know what? There's going to be people that stand before the judgment seat of God that did not put their trust in Him. And God is going to say to them, I gave you every opportunity to let you know that I love you because look how I blessed you on earth. And yet you never turned to me. You never realized how rich I blessed you. The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. And I know sometimes in our mind, we think the way people come to Christ is, what do? We hit them with something hard and give them flat on their back for a couple of days, and then they'll think about God and maybe get saved. Well, God says the goodness should also lead you there. Okay? So again, look around. Okay? We live in America. God's good. That ought to lead us to Him. And yet these people, though being blessed abundantly by God, it seems that they have nothing to do with Him, and they'll be held accountable for that. I blessed you. Didn't you know that? You should have figured it out, and you should have turned to me because of how much I blessed you. So again, the saying comes out in Malachi's day, hey, if you don't have anything to do with God, God seems to bless you better. Okay? So I want you to go over to Psalm 73, because it seems that a man by the name of Asaph kind of found himself, again, 500 years maybe, if the book of Psalms was written around 1000 B.C., about 500 years before the people of Malachi start making up their statements and complaining to God about evil people seem to have it better, Asaph already recorded Psalm 73. Now, I have said this. Every time I go to Psalm 73, I say this, okay? I do. I don't know why Psalm 73 is not a real famous psalm. Okay? When I say the 23rd Psalm, we all say what? Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know why the 73rd Psalm is not on that level. Because the teaching that it has for us is so important. It is a huge teaching. It's huge doctrine that we just need to learn. Because where we live sometimes, it hurts us or whatever. I want you to see what we have here in Psalm 73. I thank Jason for reading it. Again, Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Okay? Now, I kind of put a saying in here. Where you stand determines what you see. I just want you to think about that. Where you stand determines what you see. Okay? And I think that's kind of a theme of this psalm. I'm just bringing it out. I'm not teaching this thing yet. I'll get to this statement later. But where you stand determines what you see, okay? Now watch what verse 1 is, okay? Verse 1 is what I call the education verse, okay? It's education. You might want to write in there Sunday school education, Sunday school lesson, okay? Because when we come to church, like we are right now, when we are asked questions in church, we have to give the Sunday school answer. Is everybody following me through? You have to do it. Because if you don't give the Sunday school answer, people will go away and go, boy, what was bothering Tim today? Did you hear how he answered that question? Okay? So for people not to say that, Tim has to give the Sunday school question. Okay? For example, if we'd say to Tim, hey, is God good? Come on, folks. We're in church. He's got to say what? God is good all the time. You got to say that. But maybe this week, and I'm picking on Tim because he knows I'm not picking on Tim, okay? Just using him. But maybe this week, somewhere during the week, Tim was like, I'm not sure God's good. Life's hard. There's been problems in my life, okay? And again, all of us, look what you're going through. I mean, there's health concerns, maybe for you, maybe for family members, okay? There's financial concerns, maybe for you, maybe for others you know. You know, and somewhere during the week, you're just like, wow, if God is so good, how come I don't see it? And so we come to church, and pastor says, hey, is God good? Oh, yeah, God's good all the time. But on Wednesday, I didn't think so. On Friday, I'm worried about him. And on Saturday, I said, boy, if I would just give up being a Christian, it might be better off. You're in the book of Malachi, aren't you? And so when we come to church, what I'm giving you is, we have learned, we say very quickly, very, you know, without thinking, oh, God is good. But there are times in our life when we look around and we say, what? I'm not sure. Really? Okay? Or maybe you're sitting here and say, no, pastor, if you'd ask me right now if God is good, I wouldn't give you the Sunday school answer. I'd just tell you, hey, I'm not sure he is. Okay? And here is Asaph, okay? And I remember one time reading a commentary, and when somebody asked the question, well, who is this Asaph guy? Somebody said, well, it's just another name from Solomon. I really disagree with that. Because Asaph, in this chapter, looks at rich people. If this was Solomon, are you following me through? Would Solomon have looked at rich people and said, boy, I wish I was that rich? Because who was the richest person in the land at that time? So when somebody said, you know, in a commentary one time that they thought Asaph was Solomon, I was like, you messed that one up. Okay? It's not Solomon. I don't know if Solomon wrote any Psalms or whatever. I don't know that this was a king who wrote this. This seems to be somebody that had some times in their lives when maybe finances and other things weren't going so well. Now, maybe it was, but I just disagree with that. But again, our education. So basically in verse 1, you know, we know God blesses his people. Now, folks, I'm not downing, please, and don't go out of here saying, well, pastor doesn't ensure God is good. Look, folks, God is good every day, all the time. And God blesses his people. Okay? He absolutely blesses his people. I'm not telling you he doesn't, okay? But I'm telling you that from time to time, we all, with Asaph, with the people of Malachi's day, we get to a place where we're sure. Again, look at verse 1 also. He blesses the pure. Again, as you read that, I've just tried to make an outline there. Truly, God is good to Israel. God blesses his people. Even to such as of a clean heart, God blesses the pure. Okay? I mean, we even have a verse that says, blessed are the... So we know this, okay? So again, what I want to do is, there is this education that we've gone through. It's good doctrine. It's good learning. We've learned it in Sunday school. We've learned it in church. We've learned it from Christians around us. We know God is good, okay? And we know that, all right? But then what I would do here is, after that, we got to look at the experience. Because verse 2 basically goes this way. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What's he saying? Well, in church on Sunday, I know how to give the Sunday school answer. Oh, the Sunday school answer is, truly, God is good, Israel. Even to them, such of a pure, clean heart. I know the answer. But you know what? There are times when I'm just not so sure that answer is true. Because sometimes my education doesn't match the experiences I think I'm seeing. Oh, I've got the education. Then I go out into the real world. I got to leave the church doors. I got to leave, you know, being where we have to get the right answers. And I got in the world, I'm like, I'm not so sure that answer is always true. Because I look around. And again, I've worked some P's through here. They weren't hard to do. verse 3. What's one of the things that makes you double think whether God is good or not? For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Again, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This foolish here is just not a person who does little things that aren't really wise. No, this is the person who says there's no God. And then I went out and I looked and I saw a fool, a person who doesn't believe in God. And I saw that he was being very prosperous in his wickedness. And you know what? I got envious. Okay? I got envious. Come on, folks. Every one of us somewhere along the line has seen the prosperity of somebody that has a lot of wealth. And we've just sat down and dreamed, what would it be like? Anybody ever done that? What would it be like, okay, just to have that kind of wealth? Yeah, and I don't even know what kind of contests are on TV. People call me on the phone all the time and want to make me rich. Has anybody got those things, you know? They want me to be in the Bahamas tomorrow for $149. You guys all get those calls or whatever? How's that work? Really? I pay $149 and you're taking me to the Bahamas for a week? Really? Come on, folks. There's got to be does anybody know there's a glitch to that or something, right? We hang up on them, okay? But, you know, I get these calls or you see things on TV, earn $1,000 a day for the rest of your life. So, I'm a person that daydreams from time to time. $1,000 a day. I multiplied that out. For those of you who can't, that's $365,000 a year. Did you come up with that? And next year it'll be $366,000. Did you get that? What could I do with $365,000 a day? Now, I'm just thinking about that or whatever. That's a good bit of money, is it not? Okay, now I know this because I was talking to my daughter one time about it. And as soon as I said, well, boy, wouldn't it be neat to win $1,000 a day? And she goes, yeah, you'd build a gymnasium over to school. So she already has it planned out. Then when I make $1,000 a day, she's spending it for me. So I kind of got thinking, so give up on the daydreaming what I'm going to do with $1,000 a day. My kids already have it planned out what they're going to do with my $1,000. Anybody else with you on that? Okay. So, but I thought $1,000 a day, you know, that's pretty good. That means sometimes when I'm going down or something like that, oh, sure would be nice to stop in and get something. And I realize I don't have enough money on me. You know, I'm not going to do that or whatever. $1,000 a day. I could do I see people that have won lotteries in the past where they've won $10 million in a lottery and today they have no money. I just sat down and thought that, folks, now, I hope it wouldn't happen to me. I like to think I'm wise in this. But, folks, can I tell you something? If you give me $10 million, I will not be penniless before I die. I won't be. Okay? Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor, if you think I would be, let's try it. Come on, okay? But if you gave me $10 million, I don't think I wouldn't be penniless, okay? I wouldn't have an entourage. I wouldn't have all that. A couple years ago, they were talking to some people that were going to play professional sports. And they said to these people, here's the wisdom that you have. Now, you're going to sign big contracts. Some of you are going to get big contracts, but here's the wisdom. The number's one. One house, one car, one wife. And they just went down through it. If you all of a sudden turn around and there's a bunch of people following you, it's called an entourage, get rid of them. You only need you, one, you know? And they just said one is the number you need because when people win big money, then what do? They overspend. I think I'd be okay with that. I could handle one house, one wife, one car. Okay, they might be upgraded a little bit, not the wife, but the house. I may get my garage. I'd like to have a garage. I may get my garage. Every time I look out there, the garage is going to go here. Does anybody do that at your house? The garage is going to go here. It's not there yet, you know. And from time to time, I go downstairs and go, there's going to be another bathroom down here someday. If I got $1,000 a day, that would be good, okay? I don't know. I like Tahoes, but I think a 2000... Well, you just drove a new Tahoe. They're pretty nice, aren't they, John? I think a new Tahoe would be nice, but I think about, boy, I'd have no problems if I could just... And I know, we think if we have money, it answers all our problems, okay? Just so you understand, we look around and think, wow, I see the prosperity of the sinner. That's what I have here. Wow, they just don't seem to have the problems that I have. Go with me, if you will, to verse 4, the peace of the sinner. Notice, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Folks, if you want to write this in there, I think this is kind of talking about their health. Not only maybe are people wealthier than we are, it even goes to their health. I mean, these people that are denying God, atheists, they're healthy. We'd like to think, oh, you know, you're going to destroy your health, or, you know, God's going to give you a sickness. And then we look around. Now watch. As verse 4 says, they basically are strong people, okay? They've got strength there. Their strength is firm, and there's no bands in their death. What is it? They're healthy till the day they die. And we'd like to think, oh, God's going to strike them with a sickness, or God's going to give them a disease. And He doesn't. And we're like, wow. And yet, watch this, folks, just in this congregation. We know God-fearing, born-again Christians that love God. And what happens? They get sick. They get sick. Now, if you're with that crowd who thinks if you got sick, then there's something wrong with your relationship with God, boy, have I got a lot to talk to you about. Is everybody with me on that? Don't you ever judge somebody's health and compare that to spiritual well-being. Don't you ever do that. Okay, you're in an area where you're not supposed to be judging. Okay, so again, wouldn't it be real neat if I could just preach up there, anybody in here that's not 100% healthy, there's something wrong with you spiritually, boy, that would be, you'd all leave, would you not? It has nothing to do with it. But we look around, and not only do they have prosperity, but again, they have health. They're doing fine, okay? Maybe right up to the day they die. And God takes them quickly or graciously or whatever, and it's over, and they never did suffer. Again, so we see, and I put down there's peace. Again, they just live a life with no problems, even in the health area or whatever. Okay, again, the pleasure of the sinner, verse 5 there, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. I mean, it just seems that things that maybe hit you and I mean, a water heater goes out. And it just seems like when your water heater goes out, nobody else's water heater ever goes out, right? Just yours. Why just mine? Or why, you know, or again, flat tire on a car. How come my car got the... Look at all these people driving by. Why aren't they getting flat tires? Okay? I mean, literally. You know, you come to the end of the night and somebody says, how was your day? Hard. Some things went wrong. And yet you look at some of these other people, whatever, and we look at their day, and what do we say about it? They didn't have a problem in the world. They had fun through the day. Again, they were frolicking and playing in the tropics or whatever. No problems at all. Wow. Yeah. God's good. I'm a little nervous about that one right now. Because for me, I'm not doing so well as the way it goes there. Again, it's easy for me to find the P for this one. Therefore, pride compass them about like a chain. Again, if you look there, I hope you understand what it's saying here, that you understand this. Pride compass them about like a chain. We're not talking a chain with links that holds down things on the back of a truck. We're talking jewelry. Okay? I mean, these people that are wealthy, healthy, and having fun, they wear their pride right out there where everybody can see it. I mean, they put it on like a big piece of jewelry that when you look at them, you just can't miss it. Again, years ago, what was the new term that came out for jewelry? Bling. I don't know how that came out. But I mean, they wear it right out there that, you know what? We don't love God. And you know what? We're doing fine. We're doing absolutely fine. There's no problem. So again, you look at it there and you see there that they're wearing it just out there, their pride, like a jeweled necklace or whatever. Again, down here, they clothe themselves. Notice, violence covered them like a garment. I mean, these people aren't even trying to live righteous lives. They just wear it right out in front of you, the evil that they're doing. Okay? Again, I don't know about you, okay? I know about me. But I know that from time to time, different shows come on TV, like these awards shows and all that kinds of stuff. I can't watch them. I don't watch them. Okay? Because it just seems to be like a parade of pride and sin. Am I right about that? You know, if you want to find out that what happened at the Ladies Awards show just watch the next day and they'll tell you all the good or bad things that happened or whatever. I just can't watch them. They're wrong. Some of them are pretty raunchy. Am I right about that? Okay. They just wear it right out there in the front. Okay. Or maybe I should say some of them don't wear much right out there in the front. Okay. But again, they're violence like a garment. Look at me. And it's almost like they're saying, see, I don't love God, but you know what? I don't have to worry. God's not going to hurt me. And the people in Malachi kind of picked up on this because what did they say? Where is judgment? Where is God's judgment? And these people are living right out there saying, God's not going to do anything to me. I'm fine. There's no God up there who's going to hurt me. And we'd like to think, well, God's going to get them. And he doesn't. And we're thinking, well, does he love these people more than he loves me? You see how we keep coming back to Malachi 2:17? You know, and that's where we are. We see their pride. Look more at their pride. Again, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Am I right about that? I mean, they just have more than they need. Okay? They have absolutely more than they need. Just absolutely unbelievable. More than heart could even wish. Again, I don't know about you. Wouldn't you like to be in the place that your wish list is a done list? You wish it up, it's done. Okay? I told you before, I'd like to have a garage at my place. I really would. Okay? It's still on the wish list. Okay? It's not done yet. I don't know when it's going to get done or whatever. Okay? When I win that $1,000 a day or something like that. Which not, you know why I'm not going to win $1,000 a day? Because I don't play. You know? So make sure you understand that. I'm not looking at it. But they have more than their heart could wish. Notice verse 8. They are corrupt, speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. That's speaking wickedly concerning oppression. I mean, they even are prideful in how in their life they hurt other people. How they step on other people. I mean, we're up here, we're the rich people, and we just step on the peons down here. And we really don't care. And again, these people are proud. They hurt people. And again, when you say speaking wickedly about the oppression there, concerning oppression, you know, they hurt people, they do things. And, you know, even if you'd come to them and say, hey, don't you know that you're hurting that person? Who cares? I don't. They deserve it. They really don't care. So, again, these people hurt other people, and it's just all in their pride. They speak lawfully. Notice in verse 9, it's just not against other people. In verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Folks, they are not even scared to talk bad about God. They'll say whatever they want about God. You know? And it's almost like the blasphemous things that come out of their mouth. We're thinking, as Christians, God's judgment is going to fall at any moment upon them. And it doesn't. It doesn't. And then we're thinking, what? Are you seeing the thinking that people are doing here? Maybe you've done it. Okay, now I'm here to tell you it's okay if you've thought it. Just admit it. Okay? Because I do tell people sometimes when you admit where you are, then you know where you need to go. But just admitting where you are, first of all, then you find out where you need to go. So again, they speak against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth or whatever. Again, these people just, that's all it is, okay? Now, again, I don't like to be political or whatever, but I know that, you know, people, because of what's going on in the political scenes, people talk to me. Oh, Pastor, what do you think about, you know, and what's the biggest one most people are asking me now? Hey, Pastor, what do you think about Donald Trump? Okay? Well, he's like the humblest man I've ever met. You know, again, I just go this way with it. If I agree with his political ideas, and some of them I do, I'm not saying which, some of them I do, what's the hard part for me to look past? There's a lot of pride there, is there not? Okay? There's a lot there. That's just hard to do. Okay? That's just hard to do. I wish one day I hear in the news that somebody fired something back at Donald Trump, and he said nothing back. Wouldn't you like to hear that one someday? But he, again... So when you say, what do you think about Donald Trump? This is the part I have, getting bastard. Yeah, maybe there's some things about him that are good or whatever. But he falls into this mold, does he not? He just says what he wants to say whenever he wants to say it. Okay? And some things he says shouldn't be said. Am I right about that? Jesus, just watch out. So again, this is what I'm talking about. People that just talk, and they walk through the earth and talk and say what they want, okay? Notice verse 10, and again, this was a hard one for me to kind of understand, okay? But it says, therefore his people return thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung of them, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the earth? One commentator put it this way. These people live in luxury, and they equated it to this parable of the rich man, or the story of the rich man and Lazarus. As these people live in their luxury, what's left for us? That which is just kind of wrung out. And the illustration he gave, and I'm going to look at it here, again, as he says there, that basically, the waters of a full cup are wrung out. It's sort of this way. Here are these people, okay, that live a life of luxury, and as they're sitting at the table, and the cup is poured for them, somebody overruns their cup, they bring a napkin in, and they wipe up the leftover that fell on the table, and that's what's wrung out for us. Because you remember the rich man and Lazarus. What did Lazarus get to eat? The crumbs that what? Fell off the rich man's table. You know, and here we are, you know, as they're kind of putting it this way, we get to, you know, people that love God and maybe Christians or whatever, okay? You know, sometimes in life it seems like that we just get what's wrung out that nobody else wants. We get what's left over, okay? That kind of seems that's what it is for us. And so again, as we look at these people living in their pride, again, we look at it and boy, you know, we just get the dregs of what they have. And then we might say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Maybe we even say this, does God even know what's going on down here? Does he see these rich people blaspheming him and living like that? Does he not see it? Now, folks, come on. Be honest. In tough days, we sometimes say and think things that we would never talk about in church. Am I right about that? But I like that David and people like Asaph were honest enough to put it in the Scriptures. So when I read this stuff, I'm like, wow, thanks God. Somehow I thought I was the only Christian that ever did this. And I'm finding out that people that you used to write your book, they felt like I do at times. So God, I'm so glad that you put that in there for me, because sometimes it's hard for me to understand why are things hard right now. Why are things going the way that they are? So again, when you look at it, and again, does God know? Does God even know what's happening? Okay. Looking there at verse 12. Okay, looking at verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Okay. Verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my hands in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now here's what it goes. The thoughts of this chapter go from these rich people that have everything they want, and it comes right back to me. Wow. Things just aren't going well for me right now. Things aren't going well. But the statement I really like, okay, is verse 15. For if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. You know, if somebody would come up and say to you, hey, what you thinking? I'm thinking, God, he's not good. Somebody look at you and go, what? Hey, you know what he said? He said God's not good. Can you believe that? Well, we need the church to discipline him. We don't want people like that around here. Are you following me through? This guy's saying, you know, I'm going through a dilemma in my mind. I'm watching rich people. I see what's going on. I know my education. I see what's really going on in the world as an experience. You know what? But I can't talk to anybody about it, because if I do, then everybody's going to what? Think that. Now watch. Let's just stop right there. Okay? And sometimes I think that's the problem with Sunday school answers. Hey, brother, how you doing? Good. When really the person will look at you and say what? I'm struggling. I'm having trouble. But I can't say that when I come to church, because somebody might be offended. Now, again, this is not a museum for artifacts that are priceless. The church is a hospital for people that are hurting. Do you hear that? And I think we need to understand that. We're not perfect. We all have our problems. We're all sinners. And you know what? From time to time, you just need to tell somebody, I'm struggling. And I don't want you to be offended by it. And the rest of us need to stop and say what? We've had our struggles too. Maybe not at the present time, but we've had our struggles too. So you're not in a place where I haven't been. I'm glad you said something. Let's work through this. Let's get some help here. Let's see what we can do. Or maybe if somebody says to you, how you doing? Terrible. So am I. Let's go find some help. Let's go get somebody that can help us. Or let's do a Bible study together and see if we can see what the Bible says. So again, when it comes down there and he says that, boy, I'd like to say something, but if I do, I'd offend the generation of the children. I can't even say anything. Again, now, again, I know I'm speaking to you because I'm speaking to me. And I told you before, I am average. Does everybody hear that? Because I heard a thing one time. I've told you this before. The average American male is 5'10". That's me. So right there, I'm average. Nobody wants to be average. But you know what, folks? If none of us are average, we'd have to change the average. I'm over some people's heads here, but you'll be all right. You think about it. You think about it. We'll get it, okay? I'm just average, and I have learned somewhere in the past that if it's happened to me, other people are going through it too, or have gone through it, or will go through it. I'm just average. And you know what? So when you come to church and you want to say, all I got to do is put on my smiley face and say all that, you know what? Somewhere along the line, just say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. It's tough. And then we can find help, is what we need to do here. Now, the area that he's having trouble with is just watching how it seems like God is blessing the people of this world that have nothing to do with him and the Christians. What's the statement that I have? I think I wrote it on my own. This is titles for Psalm 73. I wrote this down. Crowns for reprobates and crosses for the righteous. That's what this chapter seems to be about. Crowns for the reprobates, crosses for the righteous. Or, the sinners are singing and the saints are sighing. Does that seem to captivate what we've been going through here? The sinners, they're singing. Hey, life is good. And the saints are what? Life's hard. Okay. Or the last one I put down here, successful wickedness and suffering righteousness. It seems to be what this chapter is about. But sometimes we don't want to talk about it. Okay? The sermon's about done, and you're probably saying, well, Pastor, we got to get to the good parts. There's not really any good parts today. Come back next week, because we're not going to do it. But you'll notice, as you follow me down, I want you to go to verse 17. There is a word in verse 17. You need to underline it. You need to highlight it. You need to make it bold-faced. You need to do something. The word until. Until. Remember what I said in the very beginning? I made a statement in the very beginning and said, we'll talk about it later. Where you stand determines what you see. Does that make sense to you? You'll notice in verse 17 that Asaph changed his position. He finally did what? Where did he go? He was out in the world, looking at the things of the world, you know, and basically he got his eyes off of God. And when he finally got into the sanctuary, or he got into the temple, okay, then all of a sudden, he got his eyes on God. So everything that we've studied so far in this chapter is until. Until. There is an answer to all this, folks. There is an answer. Do you know there is an answer to all this? You know what, folks? God is going to judge these people. He may not do it in this lifetime. Does that disappoint you? He's not going to do it in this life. Now, God is going to bless us beyond imagination. That part of it may not come in this lifetime. Is everybody with me on that? Okay? Your wagon's not maybe going to roll in this lifetime. But you know what? When we finally get our eyes on God and realize He's an eternal God, not limited by time. Are you following me through? Then all of a sudden we get our eyes off of what's going on around us, and we get our eyes on God. Now, I'm going to come back next week and finish the chapter. Okay? Unless you brought your lunch. Now, again, let me just say one or two things, okay? Folks, we're all struggling. We don't need to fake it all the time. Get real. Asaph did. I even appreciate the people in Malachi's day. Kind of, even though they were wearing the Lord, they just never got to the rest of the chapter. They needed to get to the rest of the chapter. God does judge. God does bless the righteous. And if you don't think so, you know what? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. grab onto that one, folks. Okay? I think my mansion in heaven is going to have a garage. Okay? And a car. I don't know if I want a car because they'd break down. But maybe in heaven they won't. I don't know. Okay? Does that sound good? Rost and muff do not corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal, whatever. But again, folks, we just need to be real. If you're struggling, talk to people. Find help. That's what mentors, that's what accountability people are for. Find help. Don't just keep saying everything's going good when it's not. Because here's Asaph saying things aren't going good, but he found help. He changed his position, and when he changed his position, then he got help with what he was thinking about. I'm going to close now, but I'm telling you what, folks, come back next week. We'll finish the chapter. Father, I pray that you might be with us and help us realize we have our down days. Depression sets in. Lord, it's hard not to be envious of those around us that seem to be doing better. And Lord, sometimes it's easy just to fall into stinking thinking. And thinking, Lord, that you love them more than you love us, and you bless them more than you're going to bless us. And Lord, it's not all right. But Lord, I pray you might help us in those times to come to the Bible, to come to your temple. Lord, to come to your presence, because that's where help is found. But Lord, in those days when we're down, I pray, Lord, you'll carry us through. Send us someone that can help us. Help us to seek out help. And Lord, that you would get us out of those depressions we're in, because our thinking's just not quite right. Lord, help us to turn our thoughts to you. Again, thank you for Asaph, that he was honest enough to write this book. And Lord, to guide us in the right thinking. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.